y'all. Welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. When most of us come home from incarceration, our primary concern is finding a job and getting employment. But there does come a time, especially for those of us that have served rather lengthy sentences, that we're unable to work, or we get to a point in our life where we're ready to retire. Believe it or not, we're going to talk about retiring today, what it's like on the other side of all that work. My special guest today is Miriam Goodman, and we're going to be speaking with her. She's an expert on what life is like and how to make retirement something that's doable, and we're going to talk to her right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Like hearing from you, and the way you do that is you catch me at MathersRodney at yahoo.com. That's MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Hey, send me an email so I know how you're doing, okay? Tell me how things are going for you. If you have suggestions for the show, let me know about those too. MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Drop me a line. Welcome back. My very special guest today is Miriam Goodman. Miriam has written a wonderful book called Too Much Togetherness, Surviving Retirement as a Couple. Now, most of us are more concerned around here with working, but there are ex-offenders out there that come home and have reached a point in their lives where they're no longer able to work, or there are ex-offenders that are financially prepared to retire and ready to do so. So this show is for you. Miriam, how are you?
I'm just great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing swell. Where are you calling from?
San Francisco.
Okay. Hey, do you know where Hamilton Air Force Base used to be?
Yes.
I was born there. On the Air Force Base, and
wow.
I'm told that it's no longer there, that it hadn't been there for quite some time.
No, it isn't. It's now mostly private housing, and I think they still use the golf course up there, and they have big annual festivals of some kind or another. That's what they're using it for.
Do a lot of retired people play golf?
Oh, yes.
It's kind of like... if you want to play golf, you can't really have a job or anything. It takes up so much time. It's also kind of a rich man's sport, I think. But let's start off, Miriam, by you telling us a little bit about yourself and where you're coming from so that we'll have an idea of where it is you're coming from as you write this book. Tell us about yourself.
Okay. I am not retired. I work as a public relations consultant, and a couple years ago I started writing books on things that I thought were relevant to my age group. And before, well, sort of simultaneously with being a PR consultant, I've been a radio and television producer. In the 70s, I produced the first nationally syndicated feminist radio program, trying to explain feminism to the world at large, because everybody had a lot of misconceptions about it. And then I became a television producer, and I worked for NPR. I worked for Australian broadcasting, Canadian broadcasting. And so I've kind of been out there watching the changes in the world, I would say, seeing how things were being invented and reinvented, and how people of the boomer generation were used to doing it all their own way. You know, it was kind of, it's not your father's Cadillac approach, but okay, I know how my parents did it, but I'm sure I'm not going to do it the same way. Mm-hmm. And I started looking around at how people were dealing with retirement, and all I could get out of my contemporaries were, my husband's not allowed to retire. that was the most common answer I got when I asked people about their. Nobody talked about the emotional changes that people would go through in retirement. It's all about, are you going to have enough money? Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a real lack in planning for retirement. Mm-hmm. People needed to know, how are we going to live day to day? How am I going to be with my spouse? How am I going to be with myself? What am I going to, why am I going to get up every morning and jump out of bed? What's going to interest me? Mm-hmm. So that's how I started thinking about the dynamic of what happens in retirement to people who haven't planned. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you go from 99 miles an hour to nothing, right? I mean, one day you exactly. wake up, and so you've got to be ready for that. And as a couple, you have to be ready for that, I'm sure. I really, the only reference I have are my parents, who were able to retire fairly early. And my dad struggles with it. My mother seems to have adjusted. My dad gets bored, you know, and it's obvious, and he's picked up some hobbies and so forth. One of the things, though, that I mentioned, or that you mentioned, that really struck me is that there's a rising divorce rate among couples that are married 20 plus years. And I'm wondering, does, you know, this retirement planning play into that? I mean,
the lack of planning plays into it.
Okay, tell us about that. What's going on there?
Well, I think retirement means a lot of different things to different people. And I think that a lot of people avoid the subject because of what comes after retirement.
Right.
You know, they don't want to deal with the issue of death, and I understand that, mm-hmm. or even sickness and frailty. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't even have to be death. And I certainly understand that, and I know that the solution is not talking about it. You know, mm-hmm. you've got to make a plan. And I think with this generation, we look around and we've been the first in so many things, and we've decided we want to do it this way and that way, and not the way our parents did it. And yet we don't have any instructions on how we're supposed to do it better. For example, you just mentioned your father. Mm-hmm. Men are not doing well. They have been fed a story that, okay, you work 40, 50 years, and then you retire, and it's just all beautiful. And that just isn't the truth. Uh-uh. And nobody knows what to do about that, and people haven't talked about it. It's an issue that's very touchy for a lot of people. A lot of women, you're talking about why there's so many divorces, a lot of women have been working. They have their own money. They have their own resources, and they look around when their husband comes home from a life of work and say, I don't want to sit around with a bored husband. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. You know, there are things that I want to do with my life, and he just wants to sit around, and he's boring me.
That's interesting that you would say that, Miriam, because my mother makes the comment that dad's driving her nuts, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, continue.
No, I was just going to say it's sad but true. I mean, that's the problem, that women are finding that they have their own resources. Women, for the most part, have been multitasking. You know, we've been out there taking care of the kids, taking care of our elderly parents and in-laws, aunts and uncles, whatever, mm-hmm. working in the community, mm-hmm. Serving on school boards, volunteering, exercising, meeting our friends for lunch, with all these things together. And the men, by and large, have been working, mm-hmm. and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't developed themselves to have other interests. So what happens with women is when they stop working, sure, they miss it. They miss the companionship and all the other things that go with working, but they've got 10 other things that they're still doing. Their life isn't as changed as you would think. Whereas with the men, lo and behold, they don't have a clue. They don't know what they're supposed to do. They don't know who they're supposed to hang out with. They're really, really confused is all I can say.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a friend of mine telling me that as she and her husband were preparing to retire, he retired first, and she was still working. She had a legal practice, but she was still trying to close up some outstanding cases. And they had agreed that they were going to move to their vacation home. And she said, okay, today, I've got to go to the office. Could you just pack up the guest room? And she came home, and she saw that there was half a box filled. And she said, well, what were you doing all day? Why does it take you so long? And actually what she said to me is, I'm watching him grow old before my eyes, and mm-hmm. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets really scary. Nobody told us, let's put it that way, nobody said it was going to be a bed of roses, but nobody said that people were going to kind of revert to children again and not know what it is that they want to do and feel that they have to have somebody else tell them. That's the scary part,
mm-hmm.
not knowing what it is you want to do with your time and not knowing how to go about making new friends. A lot of people, especially men, have counted on their social group being either set up by their wives or people they work with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are all, I'm making generalizations here. Mm-hmm. I'm not attacking all men, and I'm not saying all men are like this, because clearly there are a lot of men doing very well in retirement. But more and more women are saying, I don't need to limit my life by his narrowed expectations. And that's what happens. I mean, some men are doing great. They go off and they spend time with their grandchildren, for example, and they really love that. They love that opportunity. Maybe they didn't have it with their own kids. They are volunteering in the community and using the business skills that they've had all along. But others are still looking for something, and they didn't plan properly, and they feel kind of cheated. And I had several men say to me, you know what? I flunked retirement. Well, it shouldn't be that way. You know,
right.
Retirement shouldn't be something you pass or fail. It's supposed to be something that we're looking forward to all our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need to find ways that are make that work for us.
Okay. Well, you talk about the five types of retired men. Can we just kind of go over that a little bit and tell
sure.
us?
Sure. And a lot of people, whether they're retired or not, I'm sure will recognize this. For example, there's the glommer. I call him the glommer because he gloms onto his partner and mm-hmm. follows her around the house and wants to do whatever she's doing, follows her to the grocery store, sometimes follows her into the bathroom, is always there. As soon as she gets a phone call, he wants to know who's that on the phone, and he starts interrupting her and talking because, God forbid, she should take a little bit of time away from him. And it becomes very aggravating for the women. In fact, a woman said to me one day when I was still working on the book, she said, maybe you ought to call your book, Who's That on the Phone? She said, you know, my whole marriage, my husband never asked me who I was talking to and never quizzed me when I got off the phone.
Mm-hmm.
She says, and now he has so little going on in his life, he wants to share in mine.
Right.
So that's the glomer. He's just always on there. The general is the guy who comes home and he says, I know how to do it better. Whatever it was you were doing, I can do it better. Okay, the wife was doing all the expenses, paying all the bills, the credit cards, you know, bills, everything like that. He says, I can do it better. And he takes over, and sometimes he does a fine job, and sometimes he just forgets. And all of a sudden you get a notice that your water's going to be turned off or your telephone's going to be turned off because he just put it aside and didn't get to it.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the the gypsy. He's my favorite guy. He's the guy who can't stand being home anymore. Even if he spent his whole life traveling and he said, oh, God, I can't wait till I get home and I don't have to travel anymore. Here's a guy who, time after time, is planning the next trip. And he doesn't take into consideration that his wife has a life where they live. For example, a woman told me she was very involved in a charity organization, and she was chairman of their big annual dinner. And she was working on it night and day, and her husband knew that. There was no way he couldn't know what she was doing. And yet, he goes off and he buys tickets for a cruise. Mm-hmm. And the dinner comes right in the middle of the cruise. And he comes home with these tickets, and he says, aren't you excited? Look what I did. She said, I can't go then. He said, what do you mean? I already bought these tickets. She says, you know that I'm chairman of this charity dinner. He says, oh, well, it's just charity. Somebody else can do it. So mm-hmm. he kind of denigrates what she's doing with her life and thinks that she's got to stop everything just to do what he wants to do. So that's the guy called the gypsy. The grumbler. Everybody knows the grumbler. He comes home, and whatever it is that you're doing, it isn't right. He doesn't like her cooking anymore. He doesn't like the decoration of the house. He doesn't even like the way she shops at the grocery store. I had one woman tell me that for 40 years she'd been driving to the grocery store on the same route. And one day her husband says, oh, let me come with you. And he says, oh, you go that way? You know, you should have turned right here and left there. We'd get there much faster. And then once he gets in the store, he says, well, why are you buying that ketchup? You know, I think this ketchup is cheaper. So if you're laughing at it, does this sound familiar at all?
It sure does.
Yeah, unfortunately. And then the last one is the saddest one of all, and that's the guy I call the ghost. And he's the one who comes home, and he deserves to rest. I'm not saying that men don't deserve to have a transition from their retirement into their post-retirement lives. They absolutely do. But he comes home, and he just sits. He doesn't want to go anywhere. He's either sitting in front of the TV or sitting in front of the computer and never wants to get up and go anywhere, doesn't want to join his wife when she, you know, presents some kind of social opportunity. He doesn't want to do anything, and he gets more and more depressed, which then ends up depressing her and the rest of the family.
Okay, we're going to talk.
So those are my five guys. There are others, and again, it's not everybody, but there's a little bit of that and too many men for us to ignore them.
I'm going to ask you a little bit more about depression in just a second, and we're going to take a quick break first. Back with Miriam Goodman right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. I know that one of the things that doesn't work well for me is to have a lot of idle downtime, time where I'm not. It's okay to have that every once in a while, but I don't do real good with that. And those of us that have been to prison because of some sort of an addiction, you know what I'm talking about. And the thing that I've done to fill my idle time is I've taken up playing a couple of different instruments. I'm not very good at it, but I know that some of you out there have done the same thing. And I use something called the Jam Buddy chord chart to help me. It enables you to play songs in any key, which makes it easier for you to play with other musicians. It's called the Jam Buddy chord chart. It teaches something called the Nashville numbering system, and the way you find it is either by clicking on the link right next to the podcast there where it says Jam Buddy chord chart, or you can go to angiesbanjo.com and click on the link for the Jam Buddy chord chart there. It's the Jam Buddy chord chart.
You've broken the speed of the sound of loneliness. You're out there running just to be on the ground. Well, I got a heart that burns with fever.
And welcome back. We're talking to Miriam Goodman. Miriam has this cool book called Too Much Togetherness, Surviving Retirement. She was just talking about the five different types of guys when they retire. And Miriam, I could see two observations there. I could see the direction that I'm going in, and I can see a little bit of that, like in my dad, you know, and in the things you were talking about. My dad, what he did is he decided, my dad was a CPA, you know, a kind of a corporate financial
type. That was mine.
Really? Well, my dad decided that he wanted, when he retired, to learn how to play the banjo, okay? And I mean, it's such a switch for him because he lived in such a right brain kind of world his whole career, and then wanted to do something so creative, so left brained, and
that's
cracks.
Wonderful.
Well, I think it's really cool too. But what he did is he figured out how to intermingle the two. Like he'll take things that he's learning on the banjo, but he'll put them on an Excel spreadsheet. It just cracks me up the way he mingles the two. But okay, tell us a little bit about how to keep separate but together lives. How do we go about doing that?
Well, this is touchy because one of the partners has other interests. For example, golf. You know, it's possible that the spouse feels left out, or that activity is more important than an activity with the spouse. So I think the easiest way to avoid this is to get one of those big calendars that they have in the computer stores or the stationery stores, a big one that you can put up on the wall. And every week or every month, at the beginning of the month, sit down and say, okay, what do you have scheduled and what do I have scheduled? And what time can we schedule together? So it could be that the wife, Monday is her tennis day, and maybe it's his golf day. And Tuesday, she volunteers, and Wednesday, he maybe takes a class, whatever it is. Well, they can say, okay, look, Thursday, we don't have anything there. Why don't we plan that we'll go to a concert, we'll go to a museum, or maybe we'll just take a walk, or maybe we'll go see the grandchildren, or we'll go visit some friends. Mm-hmm. So if you sit down together and you're aware that you're making a schedule, mm-hmm. I think people will feel better about the plan. Too many wives, for sure, feel guilty when they go out and they know their husband's home alone. One woman said her husband would call her every 10 minutes, you know, with questions like, where do you keep the ice cubes? Because he just didn't like being home alone, you know, and there had to be something that she could help him with. And he thought if he connected with her, well, then that would be better. So if you have the schedule together, you know, one of the things that we forget, that when we work, we have a structure.
Right.
And, you know, most of the time, that's the thing you want to get away from. Oh, my God, I don't want somebody telling me what to do 9 to 5. But after 40 years of having somebody telling you what to do, or being in a position where you had to tell yourself what to do from 9 to 5, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, here you are at 60 or 65, and that empty calendar is pretty scary because you're mm-hmm. used to structure. And you have to find a way to make that structure work for you in a new way.
Even if I really like the idea of the scheduling, and even if you're doing the scheduling, do you recommend that people stay away from downtime?
No, I don't. But you have to see what works for you. You have to really see what is the optimum amount of downtime. You know, you're allowed to go and sit in the hammock, you know, for a certain amount of time, or you can, a mm-hmm. lot of people, the first thing they do when they retire is take a long trip.
Right.
Well, that, I always thought that was a great idea. Okay, this is a good time. You're getting used to each other again, and you're spending time, and you're finding out new things, and you're really, you have no pressures on you. You're just enjoying yourself. And somebody wrote me a note after reading one of my articles and said, you know, sounds like a good idea, but especially if you've been leading parallel lives and you haven't been spending so much time together, all of a sudden a 6-week vacation where you're together 24/7 is not a good idea.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yes.
Let me tell you a funny story real quick. My wife and I went to my parents' house for dinner just recently, and my dad was doing the laundry.
Mm-hmm.
And then after dinner, he washed the dishes. Now, you know, all of my childhood, and I lived at home when I went to college. So, you know, I was there into my, you know, until I was 22 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I never once saw my dad do the laundry or wash dishes. And it kind of mm-hmm. freaked me out a little bit. I'm like, I looked over at my mom. I'm like, what is he doing? Oh my gosh! So things
well,
do change,
you know,
don't
sometimes,
they?
Sometimes a guy will do that, and especially if he hasn't done it his whole life, and he'll do it badly, so that he doesn't have to do it again. You know.
Ooh.
So I hope he's doing it. I hope he's doing it for the right reason.
Now, depression can be an issue. What are some of the signs that a spouse can look for in their partner, and how do they help them address that?
Well, there's that ghost I talk about. Mm-hmm. That's the first sign that he doesn't want to go anywhere. He doesn't want to do anything. Sometimes he doesn't even, wash his clothes, you know, keeps the same clothes on, forgets to get a haircut. Shirt is always hanging out of his pants. He sort of has forgotten, his personal hygiene. That's a real sign of depression. Another one is that he sleeps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real issue for people, especially if the wife is still active or even still working. She's out there busy, going up, gets up 7 in the morning, whatever, comes home, and he's raring to go because he's been sleeping all day. So that becomes a real problem. But
okay. But
the depression is what happens. It's a result of being isolated, of not being out there in the world, not being in touch with the world. And it's also a side effect of boredom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone has not found something that they want to retire to, that's my big issue, is everybody's talking about retiring from. But you have to find something you want to retire to, whether it's banjo lessons, starting a rock band with your friends, mm-hmm. learning to play golf, taking a photography course, whatever it is. You have to have something that inspires you. You need a passion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unfortunately, not everybody's got a passion. Mm-hmm. For those who do, it's great. The easing into retirement is wonderful. But for those who haven't found it yet, they've got to look around and try some things, you know, whether it's volunteering, helping someone else start a business, whatever it is. And sometimes, and this is the bad part, is you get rejected. You know, you offer your help to an organization or to a neighbor or to a family member, and they don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
That really can send you on the road to depression. Like, what am I worth anymore? You know, nobody wants me. So we all need to start thinking in our 30s and our 40s and our 50s, what is it we want to do later? How can we contribute? How can we pay back? How can we make this world a better place? And how can I use my skills to do it? Because otherwise, anything as selfish as sitting and looking at the computer all day long is going to lead to depression.
Mm-hmm. And you should have a plan B, right?
Oh, you should have a plan B, C, D, and E.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, another thing is that people run up against is that both of you in the couple need to take each other's interests seriously. I mean, it wouldn't be any good if you're my made a plan for your father, and that's the day he had his banjo lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd say, oh, well, you know, you're not going to be professional. Forget about it. Come with me to this or that. Or go. You know, she's got to respect what he's chosen to do, and he has to respect what she's chosen to do. And you can't think that what you're doing is more important than what the other person's doing. That really will lead you on the road to disaster.
Miriam, we're out of time. I feel like we just scratched the surface. There's so much stuff I wanted to ask you about. This is a really cool thing, especially for this show, something we haven't talked about much. Miriam Goodman, the book is called Too Much Togetherness, Surviving Retirement as a Couple. Miriam, thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today.
Thank you, and anytime, I'd love to talk to you again.
We'd love it. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mather, and you're on the Journey of Hope.
Living the sticks, tobacco country music mix. Ain't gotta live in no sticks to like country. To like country.
Well, I don't care much for cows and such, and line dancing looks like it really sucks, and I don't own a
days hunting deer. Can't stand the taste.
Hello. You want to be sure and join us next time when my special guest will be Lucy Smith. Lucy is head of something called Hope Literacy Incorporated, and she is very active and on the front lines of reducing recidivism in the state of Texas, and her ideas can be spread across the United States. She's doing a wonderful job. Lucy Smith, next time on The Journey of Hope.
Ain't gotta live in no sticks.
Here we are at the end of our 95th episode. Can you believe it? 95. I want to thank my special guest, Miriam Goodman, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on The Journey of Hope.